Welcome back to another episode of the Wire Fantasy Football Podcast. Ty, Kyle, what's going on, fellas?
What's going on, boys? Kyle, how we doing?
Gentlemen, how we doing today? Not bad, not bad. Happy Monday.
Oh, we're flying right now. We got a lot of energy. I like
it. We're ready to go.
It's rookie draft season. Yeah,
we're all fired up right now. But this week, we're going to drop in. We're going to break down our most recent rookie draft we did for the home league. Give you some thoughts, give you some our strategies going into it. Let's do it.
Yeah. It's the Wire. D. Griffin. This the Wire, serving up a hot take. Around the league, serving gems like a hot plate. Who's the flex? First pick, rounds 4-8. Trading with the base, that's Superman, we need a cape. This that fantasy, see who get the glory. Who's gonna stay up in they lane talking Tory? Who gonna ride up on the train with a hype at? Yeah, you wanna start him, but matches, you might not like that. Three tutties next week, man, he's double covered. Takes on 100 coming out the oven. Tim and Todd, they the guys, know you gotta love them. Take your pick, do it quick, they on fire. The Wire.
All right, boys. So, like we said, we're going to break down our most recent rookie draft. Tim, I know you're excited about it. You had a huge draft. You had pretty much every pick in the draft at this point.
I did have a pretty good draft. So it's cool because the three of us in the same league had pretty much three different strategies because I had a ton of picks. Tyler only had two mid seconds. And Kyle was kind of
201.
Okay, I'm sorry. He had the 201 and the 207, and that was it for picks. And then he kind of can explain trying to buy more picks into the recency bias and offering stuff that way. I kind of liked staying pat in my decisions. I was kind of scattered all over the board. And Kyle is just, you know, 106, the 205, the 306, the 405, and he had another pick in there or something like that. But it was pretty interesting with how it played out. How about I'll start it.
You have to start it. You had the 101.
All right, so I had the 101. This is a super flex league. Let's start here. Now, non-tight end premium, so it's a standard league outside of it being super flex, which in my opinion is a standard league. But anyway.
Well, actually, before you do this, how about we do this? Let's root off the first round, because I think that's kind of an interesting thing that I bet a lot of people are looking for, how these first rounds are going.
All right. Yeah, that makes sense. So first round, Trevor Lawrence was the 101. Then Trey Lance at the 102.
Sure.
Kyle Pitts went at the 103. Najee Harris at the 104. Jamar Chase at the 105. Fields fell to 6. Travis Etienne went at 107. Zach Wilson at the 108. Jalen Waddle at the 109. And Javonte Williams at the 110. So kind of to recap that, I had the 101. It was the easiest pick of all. I knew I was going Trevor Lawrence even before the NFL draft. I pretty much knew Trevor Lawrence was going to be the 101 in 2018.
Did you? Because you made us wait 3 hours.
I was working.
Yeah. All you had to do was hit one button.
I didn't even look at my phone.
Mother, you were answering the chat.
You should have been queued up, ready to go, auto draft, done.
That's on Tyler. He knew I was taking Lawrence. He's the commissioner. He just forced the pick, dude.
You're co-commissioner, and all you had to do was hit one button.
I was at an open house. I had no choice.
You can answer the chat, but you can't.
I didn't answer the chat. I came back and I had to
answer. You told us you were working a trade, and so we had to wait.
No, that was the 108.
That was the 101, my friend.
Oh, I was not trading the 101. Anyway, Lawrence the 101. Very easy. Very simple. Dude, stud. The number one prospect since Andrew Luck, Peyton Manning, Bo Jackson.
As long as he doesn't Ryan Leaf it, we're
okay. Hey, get that juju the fuck out of here, right? But anyway.
I like the way you're thinking, Kyle. I like the way you're thinking.
I don't really think we need to talk about Lawrence too much more, do we?
Yeah, there's nothing really left to talk about. We've been talking, you know, most people have been talking about this kid, honestly, for a couple years now, and obviously we covered him plenty, so there's only so much you can really talk about him, and time to really move on to pick two and pick three, where things got pretty interesting, I think.
Yeah. So
let me ask you this. Were you surprised that Lance went at two?
Yes. I personally, so in my opinion, I'm a Fields guy. I'm going Fields 102.
I agree with you there, but I think at the same time,
I understand it.
Yeah. I wasn't upset about it. I was just surprised, especially because he's a team that needs a quarterback to play right now.
Yeah. You know, I love that Zach Wilson is falling in drafts. But he's, if you believe in him, he's in contention for the pick. I still have Fields ahead of him. Lance is kind of the three for me as far as a quarterback class. But if you believe in Trey Lance, take him at the 102. If you don't have another pick coming up, absolutely go for it. I'm very curious how the draft would have shaped out if it went Fields at two. Kyle, you ended up with Fields at six. Would you have taken Lance at six?
To be honest, and when I knew I had pick six and when I started my rookie, you know, breakdowns and that whole process of reviewing, I expected Lance at six. I expected him to fall because of, you know, just other positional needs, but also because he didn't have the playing experience. So odds
were, he also might not start this year.
Right. So odds were he probably wasn't going to start this year. It looks like he's not going to start this year. Being at San Francisco, it looks like they're going to hang on to Jimmy G for now, and he's going to start some games. So it'll be interesting to see how long it takes for the fans to want Trey Lance out on the field, or for Jimmy to pull up with a hammy or something weird. But yeah, I honestly expected Trey Lance to fall at six, but I'll be just as happy enough to have Fields. So when he fell, it was between Chase and Fields, and I was talking to Eric about it. And I said, all right, well, who are you taking with the pick? And he said, you know, I don't know. My heart says Chase, but my head says Fields. And, you know, we went back and forth a little bit. I was going to be happy with either one, but I ended up with Fields, so won't be mad at that.
Yeah.
Fuck you. I tried to move up every fucking pick the second Fields didn't get taken at the 102.
Tyler, and listen, nobody wanted the 201 in Sterling Shepard for you to move into the top five.
I was willing to offer a lot more than that.
Okay.
But the only thing that
Russell Gage.
The only thing that anybody was even willing to talk about at that point was fucking DK. DK.
Yeah.
And there was no chance I was giving up DK.
One day you'll understand value.
It's not a value.
I wouldn't move DK either. I would just keep DK.
For a starting quarterback?
No.
In a super flex?
He ended up with a starting quarterback, so he's fine. So, but we'll get there. Let's pump our brakes, because Tyler doesn't even get to... He can moderate for the first round. because at the beginning of the year, he traded... The one was included in a Derrick Henry deal. So, the 103, Kyle Pitts goes. It's not a tight end premium league. I still like it. I personally wouldn't do it, but...
He was really stressing tight end. I talked to him a lot coming up into the draft, and he believes that Pitts is the generational talent out of this draft, out of this class. He thinks he's going to be the best player down the line long term. He thinks Pitts is going to be Kelsey, Gonzalez, and these generational tight end type of guys, and I can't blame him.
Yeah,
he could be.
I don't blame it. You know, he has a pretty solid young team. He is kind of quarterback needy. He's super
quarterback needy right now.
And he's kind of freaking out about it a little bit with some of the trade offers he's been sending, even though they've been junk. But, you know, Rodgers, Lamar, and Jimmy G, it's not out of the realm of possibilities to say week one, he has one starting quarterback. Rodgers just says, you know, screw you, Green Bay, I'm not playing, and Jimmy G, they decide to go Lance, and he's the backup. I mean, that's really what he's working with. But
yeah,
I don't blame the Pitts.
After watching them take Lance, I probably would have went a quarterback there, to be honest with you too, especially what Fields there. But he specifically was trying to move up all offseason so he could get Pitts. So I wasn't surprised.
He wanted Pitts, and then he really wanted to jump into the 105 and take Pitts and Chase, or Pitts and Najee.
I think he wanted Najee.
But then Najee goes to the 104.
Right where I thought he was going to go.
Yeah, about there, 103, 105 range. He's not falling after that, unless somebody goes three quarterbacks and ends up at the 106. But 104, Najee, he could have used a running back. It's not a bad pick, but solid pick. My issue with him, they didn't address the offensive line
yep.
at all.
No, they spent a third and fourth round pick on offensive line.
They did, but
how confident do you feel about that?
It's
Pittsburgh. It's a good organization. That
they are. They do scout well. They do develop well. But he's just what, 23 years old?
Yeah.
Yep. Coming out, he's older.
He's already older.
He's what, 10 months younger than Saquon Barkley?
Oh, I don't know.
So
I don't know. I haven't looked at that.
Because he spent 2 years at JUCO before he transferred. Yeah.
He's definitely older.
He's 23. And if Ben leaves, who knows what that offense even looks like? If they can just stack the box against him and they're going with someone like Mason Rudolph or Duck Dodges, it's a little concerning going forward, but the number one running back in the class, go for it.
Yeah, I'm not stressing that so much. I don't think Ben goes anywhere anytime soon. I'm a firm believer that you're going to get at least 2 or 3 more years out of Ben.
Ooh, so, I like that.
Yeah.
If so, then I'm okay.
Yeah.
Najee's in a situation now where he's automatically going to get 250 plus touches. And for a running back on that team, that's all you can really ask for. And to get that kind of usage, that kind of volume, you're automatically going to be in the low end RB1 situation, you know, in that realm. High end RB2 out the gate. To me, I've always been a believer in Najee's talent. Obviously, he played around a bunch of talent at Alabama, but he held his own quite a bit. And yeah, he's a little bit older, but it's Alabama. You don't see the field for the most part until you're a little bit older, just because of the running backs that they're churning out at that program. So age never really scared me with him.
There's mileage.
Well, that's the thing. He didn't really see the field a ton the first year or two.
The first 2 years, he was a stud at a JUCO college. He wasn't at Alabama.
All right, that's JUCO. I'm not really worried about it too much.
You know, but mileage touches. and hits. And it
my problem with him is by the time you're only getting one contract out of him.
Yeah. So
that's any running back, though.
Yeah. That's not true.
Unless your name's Christian McCaffrey or Alvin Kamara, you're only getting...
For the most part, I do agree with Kyle here. But, you know, when you draft a running back, you draft somebody for 4 years. Comfortably for 4 years in the first round. That's what you're looking for. Ja'Marr Chase goes to the 105. I like it. I like the pick. It's just funny because the rich get richer on that team.
Don't give them that. They're going to listen to this. Don't give them that. You guys still suck.
I don't give a shit. No, they. We're talking about a team that... Well, I'm gonna just read off their wide receivers really quick. They have...
To be honest, I think their wide receivers are their biggest need.
Well, yes and no. We're talking about a team that now has Ja'Marr Chase, T. Higgins, CeeDee Lamb, Jerry Judy.
Lamb. I forgot they had Lamb.
Yep. Jerry Judy, Cooper Kupp, Chris Godwin. They don't have any top five wideouts like an A.J. Brown or, D.K. Metcalf. But, you know, young studs, one of them is going to be a top five wide receiver. They have the top four wide receivers from the last 2 years. I like it. It's just his ceiling isn't as high because it's in Cincinnati. Fair.
The interesting part is now they're carrying Chase and Higgins.
Yeah, and they've been trying to move Higgins. But we'll stick to this draft. We're not going to stick to roster creation just yet. Kyle, I know we talked a little bit about it. Fields is a slam dunk for you here. You didn't consider Zach Wilson.
No, I'm not the biggest Zach Wilson believer. I was coming out, you know, scouting the prospect and whatnot, but it's the Jets, and I understand it's a different coach and, you know, it should be a different culture and whatnot, but it's the Jets. Like, you have to play against the, you know, three top level defenses. That's 6 games a year. You have to worry about that. He wasn't the best against pressure. He didn't have to face the top level competition he's going to have to face. I had some questions with that. When you get a player like Justin Fields that falls to you at 6 and he was widely considered the QB2 in the class. And like I had said in our QB breakdowns, he was right there compared with Trevor Lawrence out of high school. I'm going to take Justin Fields. I'm going to believe in the kid. He has David Montgomery around him. He has Allen Robinson, at least for another year, Cole Kmet. Well, this is the first quarterback that Matt Nagy was able to choose on his own. He inherited Mitch Trubisky. So I'm curious to see how that pans out for him. But I'm a believer in Justin Fields. So it was an easy pick for me.
That's fair. So we're at the 106 here. I'm up at the 108. Now, I had originally tried trading up with you because I wanted my choice of Etienne or Zach Wilson or Justin Fields. And then I get sniped on Etienne. Now, I am running back needy. I do need a running back. I have Barkley, Montgomery, McKissick, and Sony Michel. I do need a running back. And I am an Etienne believer. But he sniped me. I wasn't going to give up a second round pick to trade up one spot. I ended up with Zach Wilson. I took best player available. I sat there for an hour and a half pacing in my living room, not knowing what to do with this pick. I wasn't moving it. I just sat there. I even had to sit down and have a conversation with my girlfriend who doesn't even know how to spell these guys' names. Never mind who they are or what they do or what team they play for. And I explained to her my thought process. I was stuck between Devontae Smith and Zach Wilson. I didn't know what the fuck to do. I wanted both of them. I'm not. It's the 108. I'm not up until the 202.
So here's the real question for you. Because both of those guys, great prospects, no arguments there, great. With your team being team needy, why wouldn't you take Devontae?
I'm set at wide receiver. But I was drafting best player available.
Okay, but you don't... Okay, what's my point here? You don't need a quarterback at all.
Or a wide receiver.
And you're desperate at running back.
I could have gone Javonte, but I felt that it was a little too early for him. I was so stuck on Etienne that I kind of pushed the
one
running back
pick
position
is
off.
The bottom of the... first round is too high for him?
At the 108, I felt I didn't want to draft for need. I wanted to draft the player who I thought was the best player available, who I would get the most return on. So my thought process here was, I draft a quarterback. Let's say Javonte and Zach Wilson both hit. Who's worth more in a trade?
Okay, but you still got to be able to trade him.
You can trade a second year. If you had...
I'm not saying that. I'm just saying you have to facilitate a deal to do it, and
that's fine. And I will take my chances on that. I always say, take the best player available. You draft the best player, and you trade for need. Because what happens is if you reach and take a Kadarius Toney, and skip out on a quarterback, and you miss on the wide receiver just because you had to draft the wide receiver to fill your mental need of having a wide receiver, and you miss on a stud quarterback, that's where it gets a little interesting. So I took Zach Wilson.
My thing is,
I thought
that
he was the best return there because I actually really do like Zach Wilson. I really like what the Jets are building. We went over this a little bit in the last episode. I'm not going to get too deep into it.
No, I'm not saying you made a wrong pickup. My thing is that with that logic, realistically looking at the board, and this is just my take on it, you probably would have missed out on Zach Wilson because from there it goes Waddle, Javonte.
You took Mac Jones.
And I took Mac Jones. So regardless, I was taking a quarterback there no matter what, whoever it was.
Right.
But I don't see any of those other guys taking a quarterback after you.
So
you could have got...
My thought... Well,
you could have got Mac.
I was also
the
working. I was also working. There's a big... I think there's a drop-off between Zach Wilson
but again,
and
you
Mac
don't
Jones.
Need it.
But
so you could have filled both.
But my thought process was... I took Zach Wilson. Now I'm up at the 202. I wanted to move the 202 up to take one of these guys. Waddle went, and I was excited because I wasn't going to take Waddle at the 202 unless these other three guys weren't there. I'm high on Smith. I do like Smith a lot.
I'm just saying that because
I tried trading ahead of you because I thought you were going to take one of those two guys, and I was going to be stuck with Mac Jones or Rashad Bateman, and I would have been stuck forcing myself to take Mac Jones.
I don't. I just look at it as you look at your team as it's a contender next year, but you have no running back depth. So now you're hoping
you can win without running back depth.
You can, but it's much harder.
When you're set at quarterback and wide receiver, I think you can.
He's a That'll closet be the scene. Zero RB guy now.
No, I mean, when having Barkley, it's like having 1.25 running backs. So
no, I don't disagree.
Same thing with having a CMC. He's at 1.5 running backs. So if you don't have a good running back two on the side of CMC, just get 8 points that we got of the other guy and you're okay. But like, you know,
you're one injury away again from not being able to compete.
And that's okay. I'm still not going to draft for need. So Waddle went, It was a good solid pick. He drafted for upside.
See, I didn't like Waddle there. I didn't like Waddle there at all. I would have let Waddle fall. I would have took Smith or Williams. Either one of them I thought would have been better options.
He's in a full rebuild. I'm not saying it's a wrong pick. I'm not also saying it's a right pick. He took his guy. Go for it.
Yeah.
He actually had a pretty good draft. We'll go over that in a little bit. I like Waddle. I believe in Waddle. My issue with Waddle is he's on a team where they have, two guys that do the exact same thing?
Pretty much.
Yeah. So, and on a team that they don't open up the offense. So it's one of those things I'm a little concerned with him. Javonte goes to the 110. I was trying to trade up to this pick. I wanted to hop you because you have the 201. I have the 202. I wanted to hop ahead of you and get my choice of Smith at Javonte. Because I didn't want it to go Javonte, Smith, and then I'm stuck with Mac Jones or Bateman. Because in my opinion, after the 12th pick in the draft, there's a big dip. So the first 12 picks are all potential studs. After that, you're just drafting bench and flex guys. That's really what I see is happening. One or two of them may hit, but I think there is a big difference between Terrence Marshall and Devontae Smith, or Rondale Moore and Devontae Smith, or Jalen Waddle and, Amon-Ra St. Brown. After the 202, I do think there is a big dip in these drafts. And the other one comes at the 209-210 range. That's where I think the second dip is. But so you're up at the 201, Ty. Mac Jones.
Yeah.
Explain your thought process here.
It was kind of a no-brain pick for me. I'm dealing with all this Watson nonsense right now.
Goff.
Yeah, I'm not so worried about Goff. Everybody else is.
You're never worried about your guys on air, but everybody else in fantasy world is worried about
quarterbacks. That's perfectly fine. They can worry all they want, but Goff, no, he's not a fucking 5-year solution, but I think for the next 2 years, I think he'll be just fine. Unless for some reason they decide they want to go take a top quarterback next year, I see him there for at least another year after this. Truthfully, that's honestly what I think.
I don't see him being a top 18, top 20.
No, I don't need him to be. Anymore.
Now he's going to be in that 24, 25 range. 23.
Their defense isn't great. He could throw a ton and he could put there by volume. That's very possible.
That's if he's going to have fantasy success, it's going to be.
Way.
Yeah, that's.
And he's set
they're
up
going to be down in a lot of games. Yeah. They're going to have to play catch up pretty much every game. So, and that's why guys like Amon-Ra St. Brown, a lot of people are high on because
he's. Opportunity.
Opportunity. The opportunity. He's going to get a ton of volume. He was the first receiver that they picked. They decided to build kind of through the trenches in the draft. They got, Penei Sewell. So it's going to be wheels up.
The Hall of Famer, Penei Sewell?
Yeah, apparently the Hall of Famer with the biting kneecaps off in Detroit. But, hey.
I love it.
You're going to have to be all about it with Goff at the helm. But
see, what everybody's knocking is Goff really hasn't been that bad. He had that one bad year with, I don't remember, Fisher, was it? Who was the coach there when he
Oh, Jeff Fisher, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Nobody's had a good year with Jeff.
Exactly. And then after that, he's been just fine.
Yeah, with a QB whisper.
That's the thing. He's been coddled pretty much all in LA. Now
decline. That's the year that they took away the NFL took the coach's ability away to talk to the quarterback up once the play clock hit a certain second. And once that rule came into effect, I think it's when there's 15 seconds left in the play clock, they shut the mics off in the helmets. So okay. he's not able to. Now the quarterback has to make the decision. It's not McVay saying, all right, the linebacker is creeping up, do this.
But that was 2 years ago when he had his best fantasy production year last year. Not last year, the year before.
But last year he struggled a little bit. And that's when McVay realized maybe he's not the stud and we need to get a guy like Stafford, but that's fine. So you went Mac Jones. It covers your Cam Newton share, so you're guaranteed the quarterback in New England. You have Goff. You have Carr. And then you pray and hope for Watson. I don't blame the pick. I was really worried you were going to take Smith on me. But here is where friendship becomes questioned at the 202. I'm on the clock at the 202. And Kyle, you ever watch The Office where Ryan from The Office creates that app called Woof? Where it messages you on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, emails you, sends you a fax, a beeper, text, phone call, and FaceTime. That's what Kyle is doing to try to get this goddamn pick. because he wanted Devontae Smith in the worst way. Even after I took, up until about an hour ago, he's still trying to get Devontae Smith from me. So at the 202, it was a slam dunk for me to take him. I have to admit, Kyle, you did offer a good trade. I just wanted my guy.
Is he really your guy?
Hold on.
You've been talking shit about him and how he didn't like the fit. You didn't like the team. You didn't like him. And but now he's your guy.
Is there as the my week wide receiver before
the
six.
Draft. The week before
you're such
the draft,
a
we talked
flop.
About
he's
it.
My guy now.
He sat in that seat right over there, and we talked about Jalen Hurts, Devonta Smith. Oh, I don't like the fit. I don't like Jalen Hurts. Blah blah blah. Here he is on the clock. I offer this man a one for a second round pick.
I'm pretty sure you offered me a one in the 206 for this pick in the 209.
It was something
but
like
it
that.
It was more than just a one, I have to admit. And then you offered me, I think, the 202 and the 206 and a two next year. But it was a solid trade. I felt I couldn't beat the value of taking him here, and I didn't want to push another good startable player another year. And I also view your first next year as a late end first, so it's a little bit different value than if another guy would have traded it to me.
Than the second round that you got him in?
Yeah. Yeah.
I'd still take a 108, 109, 110 over a 202.
Then why did you try trading up for the 202 with a one next year if it's such better value?
Because in reality, Devontae Smith should have been a late one, so it would have been equal value in my mind.
Okay. But this is where... So
he's got a point. You got to give him that. He's got a point.
In reality, he should have went in front of Waddle.
Why do you think I didn't... He should have gone instead of Waddle. I agree. But...
Tim needed his guy that he adopted 30 seconds ago.
I agree.
That's what it was.
I agree.
My guy.
Tim's definitely a fair weather guy. He's 100% a fair weather guy at this point.
If you go through my leagues, I think I own Devontae Smith in almost every single one of them right now. I drafted him in three leagues of my four that I drafted. And the one I didn't draft him in.
So in the startup, should I just not look at him? Is that kind of where we are? You're going to take him at like the second round or something?
Yeah, just cross him off your list.
Okay.
Yeah. I actually traded a one next year in the Kamish Dynasty League to get Devontae Smith. So I get it because I did it myself, and that was before we did this draft. Anyway, let's move on because Kyle's blood pressure is starting to get a little high. Bateman goes to 203, right where he should go. He's that next guy.
Yep.
Here's where Alex comes into the draft.
Alex is
our old buddy Alex, who you know, a little bit too busy with work and he couldn't really dictate time. Nothing wrong with it. Great friend of ours in a bunch of leagues with us. A little too busy to do the podcast. We understood.
Alex at this point is
took a he stretched his arms as long as he possibly could to get Terrence Marshall.
I don't totally agree with that. I think Alex is slightly becoming a Carolina fan.
He likes every wide receiver in Carolina.
Yeah, pretty much. But hates Sam Darnold.
Yes.
I don't understand how that logic works. But
no, everybody there is going to be a wide receiver one, but their quarterback is not rosterable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I can't really blame Alex for this pick because, to be honest, if he would have took, like, I was up for the next two picks. If he would have took either Rondale or Elijah,
that's what I mean.
Sorry, I would have took Terrace.
These next three wide receivers are all the same tier to me. I think it's just a matter of whoever you like better, and I kind of agree with him. He's a big body guy. I probably would have went him too.
Yeah, but
that's what Tim should have went because he was super high on him pre-draft.
Yep.
Yeah. This is where I would have.
That was your guy.
I can't believe this is where. But we're gonna get into it in a couple of picks. Is one guy who slipped that I thought I couldn't believe. But Kyle, you're up at the 205 and the 206 back to back.
Hey. You got your fucking guy.
I did get my guy. It felt right, to be honest. You know, unlike Tim, I stay consistent with who I want to draft and who the guys I actually
like. I love the
like.
Shade. I really
you know
do
that's
love
what
the
it
shade.
Is. Uh-huh. So obviously we had the run at receiver.
Once he took these two picks, I'm like, damn, I should have taken the one next year because now it's going to be like the 103.
It's okay. It's all right.
I'm still now. The reason I'm still considering it is because now it's going to be like the 103 next year because he took Rondale, but. Go ahead.
It's all right. It's all good. So Bateman obviously went.
He was gonna take.
Of course he was. He's the background on his phone.
I haven't gotten there yet, but that's all right.
Oh, it's coming.
You ordered the jersey last week.
You ordered it for me?
Yeah, for your birthday.
Oh, that's nice of you. I appreciate it.
So, but you went Rondale and Elijah.
I went Rondale and Elijah.
Bateman, more.
I wanted more. That's it. Bateman obviously went. I was high on him. That's fine. Terrace Marshall went. So to me, this was just kind of the next level of receivers. I needed to leave this draft with a couple receivers. I wanted the receiver help. In my opinion, there's plenty of depth at the position. Rondale, I think he has plenty of upside there. Gets, you know, when plays break down for Kyler Murray, he's good there for a dump off. Who knows if AJ Green's going to be the AJ Green of old?
He's not.
I don't think so either. I took him as a flyer on the waiver wire and I kept him. But to be honest, I think Rondale's going to end up being the wide receiver too. I think Christian Kirk kind of just goes by the wayside. Andy Isabella isn't going to be a thing anymore when you invest.
He never was.
He never really was. Yeah, I agree. And when you invest.
UMass strong.
Yeah, got to represent. When you invest the draft capital that the Cardinals did, you plan on using them. And it's the same thing with Elijah. Depending on how Zach Wilson develops is going to kind of dictate how Elijah pans out. But
his issue is going to be Jamison Crowder.
If
Jamison Crowder is on the roster, he's not a good fantasy option this year.
I would agree with that.
No, he's a long-term option.
But yeah, he's a long-term option. And to be honest, I don't think Jamison Crowder makes the roster.
I think he does to help Zach Wilson along in his first year. And then I think Elijah takes over next year. In my opinion,
this is Crowder's last year of the deal anyway. So
I think Crowder's going to stay.
And they owe him a lot of money. I think he's a pretty good cap hit. So I don't see them cutting him.
So it doesn't
really. Well, I think they'll do it to save the cap. But we'll see how it ends up playing out.
I think Crowder stays. I think they use his veteran presence with a lot of young wide receivers there. And he's always produced. He's always been a good option. He runs the right routes. He gets open. There's no reason to cut him. Elijah Moore, I don't see him being, he's a guy, if you drafted him, put him on your taxi. I don't think he's going to be very useful this year, in my opinion. That's just my opinion. Yeah. I could be wrong. If I draft him, I'm sticking him on my taxi. Unless you have multiple fourth or third round picks and you want to throw somebody else. But this is where it starts to, if I draft this guy, I'm looking to put him on my taxi.
Yeah.
I like the pick. I like Elijah a lot more than I like Rondale. I'll be honest with you.
Oof. We already know. He doesn't like small guys. No. That's why I'm surprised he took Devontae. You know?
And
I don't like small Elijah guys Moore, either, but Jesus Elijah, Christ.
I like Elijah Moore more than I like Rondale. I don't think it's that crazy to say. Elijah Moore is going to get a lot more opportunities in the next couple years than I think Rondale will because of DeAndre Hopkins, mostly.
Realize Hopkins is going to pull a double coverage every play, right?
And you know he's still going to get 150. He's done that his entire career.
And that's
and
fine.
Still gets 150
but that means,
targets.
That means
and Moore's still gets 1,200 yards.
That's fine, but that means Moore's running butt naked all
and,
by himself.
And
all
so
the time.
Is everybody else. And if we haven't seen Andy Isabella or Christian Kirk do anything either. That doesn't make any sense because.
So you're telling me you don't think that they're
the
ever going to have a second option in
no, Arizona? I don't. You can say that about everybody, and AJ Green being there isn't going to help much because he's still going to command red zone targets and things of that nature. And then you still have Christian Kirk, who's going to be the burner downfield. He's not going to be very fantasy relevant, but he's still going to have a role on that team is my point.
Yeah.
So now we're talking about a guy who's in a mesh of a bunch of targets on a team that
I see him this
has
year
a lot
probably
of running
being
out of
the low end wide receiver three.
I don't see him being in that range. Long term, Rondale could turn into something. Long term, I think Elijah.
So you think
into
it would be crazy
more.
To see Moore go
PPR
for
value?
So hold on, you think it's crazy to see Moore go for 80 targets, 60 catches for 600-700 yards?
So you're saying this year?
Yeah.
So you're saying he's going to do what Jerry Jeudy did last year?
Jeudy had almost 900 yards last year.
I in my head it was in the 800s, but yeah, 800 yards, what 65 catches? That's 100 more yards. You see him doing that? I don't. Not with DeAndre Hopkins there.
Yeah. I don't expect Rondale to be a every week contributor right out the gate. It's for a lot of rookies, it's tough. And especially, you know, as we've seen the last year with the whole COVID thing, it kind of stunts their development a little bit. So I'm not expecting the world from Rondale, but I could honestly see him go onto that team and instantly become the wide receiver too within a year or two. I think that, and having a wide receiver tool, a wide receiver two outside of, you know, opposite of DeAndre Hopkins has value. So we'll see how it pans out. But I think what he did as an 18-year-old in a Big Ten school with an absolute shit quarterback, instant upgrade at quarterback with Kyler Murray and on a better team overall.
An instant downgrade in role.
Yeah, but I mean, I think it kind of balances out. I think he'll end up being a contributor within a year or two. Solid contributor.
Yeah, I think Elijah Moore is more likely to, just because I think he's going to be a very good slot receiver in the NFL. I like Elijah Moore a lot, and I like him being attached to a quarterback in his class going forward. And I like the Jets' offense this year. I do. I think they're actually going to be pretty good. I don't think they're going to be a Super Bowl contender, but I think they're going to 7-9, maybe push for an 8-8 season. Not going to make the playoffs, but they're going to be in some games. They're going to put up some fantasy points. They're going to be playing from behind a lot.
Good thing I took them both.
Yes. Tyler, you're up at the 207. So you took...
Stoked about this pick.
So you took Trey Sermon.
Love this pick.
You were sweating for a little bit, too.
I was trying to do everything I could to move up for him. And I got to say, my boy Kyle got my back.
It did help him out a little bit.
What'd you say? Don't bother trading up because I'm not taking him?
Pretty much.
He was going to offer me a fourth to move a pick. And that what I think it was like either a fourth next year or like a super late. I don't know. It was something that was like.
He doesn't have any other picks after this. So
yeah, he didn't have any picks.
Was he offering you Sterling Shepard?
No. Oh, it was a fourth next year or something like that. And I wasn't going to sweat it. I was still feeling some type of way about the Devontae Smith thing. So I said, you know what, Tyler, you take the pick, buddy. Don't worry about it.
So this is my personal opinion. Again, maybe I'm slowly becoming a Jets fan, but why not Michael Carter?
Because he's never going to be usable.
I disagree. Never.
He's tiny. He's underweight. At best, he's a PPR back, no more than an RB3. At best.
He's 5'10", 200 pounds. He's not
he
that
small.
He
played last year at 185. So he's never going to carry 200, even at 200 pounds, that's small. For a running back, he's never going to be a three-down back. At 200 pounds,
yeah,
never.
He's not going to have the workhorse role.
He'll never be a three-down back.
And this is kind of the problem that I've seen with certain drafts, and it seems to be a hot-button issue for a lot of people, is, to be honest, where Sermon and Carter, because they got drafted back-to-back in this draft, where they went at the 207 and 208, is relatively late compared to what a lot of people have been drafting at the early second round for these two.
Typically, Michael Carter is going in the 201, 202 range. I do think people are reaching because of the need for running back.
Oh, yep. I think that has a lot to do with
it. That does have a lot to do with it. And I think Sherman's getting the same treatment.
For sure.
Because, again, I think this where he 207, 208 in a 10-team league, okay, it's a good pick.
I was ecstatic about it. That's why I was trying to move up, because I thought somebody else was going to try to move up and take
and reach on him, yeah. You know, so Sherman, you like your San Francisco running backs. You like your big heavy backs at 225 pounds.
He's 215. He's a little on the slower side, but I don't think it matters. He's miles more talented than everybody in that backfield. Miles more.
It is a crowded backfield. That's
for a year though.
Why do you say miles more? Because he's just the newest toy.
No, watch his tape. I love his tape. Absolutely. You loved this tape when you started Walker.
I didn't understand, but it's not that he's not Saquon Barkley and
he doesn't have to be.
And
Ezekiel
Elliott.
Look at guys like Jeff Wilson and fucking Bum Joe. Like, Mostert was nothing before he got there. And now everybody looks at him like he's this great back. He's nothing.
He's very fast.
Okay, he's fast. Great.
And he's actually pretty powerful. But I get it. I understand. But those guys aren't going away.
That's the thing. They are going away. Every single back on that team is on a 1-year deal. Every single one of them. They sent Gallman 1 year. Mostert's on his last year of his deal. Wilson's on.
They extended Mostert.
No, they didn't. He's on a 1-year deal. He extended him last year for 2 years, for last year and this year. He's done after this year. He has no deal.
The problem I have with Sermon was he transferred out of Oklahoma.
For sure.
Because he couldn't compete with Kennedy Brooks. Kennedy Brooks actually beat him for the starting spot. I think it was as a freshman year. And then he transferred to Ohio State and had to split carries with Master Teague. So he never really won an outright.
The problem with that is it was his sophomore year he transferred. He lost the job. His freshman year he was outstanding. I thought he was great off that tape. And then you're right, he lost the job in his sophomore year, and then came to Ohio State and was injured. He had a knee injury. So I think that has a lot to do with that too.
I want to know if he did this after the draft or before.
Oh, this is after the draft. He just learned this. No. He found this out.
He got time. He found time today.
Yeah. He
finished his homework.
Somebody tweeted that on Twitter today. But no, I get it. I understand the pick. I don't want to spend too much time on these guys, but we're going to start rattling through some of these picks.
Sorry, Tim doesn't want to talk about anybody that's not his.
It's no, cool. I'm not gonna go spend ahead. Too
let's,
much time
let's
on my
spend
guys.
15 hours on Carter. Come on. I know you wanted this
I would
pick.
Have really liked Carter. Eric took him. I wish he would have fallen one more pick. He sniped me. I ended up with Amon-Ra St. Brown. I took him as the best player available. It was between him and Kadarius Toney. I almost went Toney just because of the potential upside. But I went with St. Brown just because I think he's going to have a better role this year. Kyle, you went Kenny Gainwell.
Can I say something about Amon-Ra?
Yes, absolutely. Unless it's bad.
I'm a little torn on him. I get why everybody thinks his opportunity is going to be huge, but I don't know if he's actually the guy, if that makes any sense.
I don't think Cephas is the guy.
So who is the guy would be my question.
Cephas isn't the
guy. I don't think there is a guy. I think Hawkinson is the guy.
So that's really... So Amon-Ra is talented, and he's going to be a slot guy. He's not going to be like a true alpha outside guy.
Right, and that's my problem. Is I think it outside of Hawkinson, I think it's just going to be a mesh of just meh. And it's because, I mean, Perriman, Tyrell Williams, I think you're going to see a lot of them more than anybody.
And I think that's why a lot of people are higher on Amon-Ra, because it's just a bunch of Jags other than him.
Right. But I'm not sure if he's not just a Jag is my problem. Oof. And I'm tempted to go buy him in certain leagues, but I'm not. I don't know. I'm really torn on him. I don't really know how I feel about
him. At the 209, it's worth a shot.
No, absolutely. I'm not saying it's a bad pick.
The wide receiver. I got, in my opinion, got the wide receiver 2 of the draft.
I'm not saying it was a bad pick at all. I'm just saying
I took it for upside purposes.
Yeah.
And also maybe for a potential trade. I almost went Toney just because, again, what if a first round draft capital wide receiver has a very good career? You know what I mean? What if, right? You know. But Kyle, you got Kenny Gainwell at the 301. Was this draft of need? Did you say I already addressed quarterback, 2 wide receivers? I got to go running back here?
No, I mean, I was torn here between just grabbing a running back and Freiermuth. I was very tempted to grab Freiermuth, and I thought maybe he would slip to the 3-6 and I could grab him then. So I decided to go with Kenny Gainwell. I think he's going to end up with a solid role. Again, not going to be a feature back with Miles Sanders there, but he's a pass catching back. They don't have a ton of receivers there. Obviously, now you have Devontae Smith and Jalen Reagor. You have Dallas Goedert there, but beyond that, you don't have a ton. Miles Sanders wasn't the most efficient when it came to pass catching.
Kenny Gainwell is a better receiver than Miles Sanders.
And that's kind of the thought process I went with that. Obviously, Freiermuth didn't slip to 306, so that kind of sucked a little bit, but I'm not mad at the Kenny Gainwell pick.
Yeah, I don't blame it. Again, like I just said, I think Gainwell's a better receiver and a better threat out of the backfield than Miles Sanders.
Yeah.
I think Sanders is a little bit more of a complete back with his running ability.
Yep.
But I think Gainwell is going to be a solid, almost like a J.D. McKissick type guy in the NFL. Maybe a little bit less route running ability because you can put McKissick out wide in the slot. But I like Gainwell as a receiver. I just don't think he's ever going to contribute on a fantasy team unless something happens to Sanders.
Yeah, he's one of those guys that are going to be tough to gauge. I tried to move up
like
for this
pick. I like the pick, though. Don't get me wrong. I do like the pick.
No, I do, too. I tried to move up to this pick to take Gainwell, especially since I own Sanders. I was high on Gainwell coming into this draft. I really liked his vision. I really thought he was going to be productive. He needed the right fit. Obviously, that didn't happen here, but I don't know. I don't hate the pick. I wanted this pick.
I liked him in Seattle more, but that's just me. I like the pick. It's upside. Dwayne Eskridge goes the 302. Brian Mouth goes the 303 because Eric has to be smart. I was hoping he fell to a 305. Zach quickly took Kellen Mond. Yeah,
which
sure.
I was surprised about. He's like smashed that as soon as his pick.
Oh, it was almost like auto pick was.
I tried
set
to move
him.
Up for this pick, and I couldn't even get a text off. It was already done. I was like, Jesus Christ.
He was stressing out about quarterback a little bit because he has not stressing out because he has Mahomes, but he has Mahomes, Tannehill, and Daniel Jones, and that was it. Until he made a trade recently, but so he took Kellen Mond, throw him on your taxi, see what happens. I'm up on the clock. And I was really hoping Freiermuth fell to me. Chuba Hubbard's there. I didn't really like it because I don't see him having any standalone value outside of if you own CMC. And I thought it was a little too early for Amari Rodgers. So I went Tylan Wallace. I thought he was the best player available at the time. I went Tylan Wallace. I like it. See what happens if Bateman doesn't work out. When he does, then let's go. Let's do it. It's a 305. Who cares? Kyle, you're up. And you went Chuba Hubbard. I love this pick for you because you have Christian McCaffrey. I thought it was a very good pick.
Yeah, that made it really easy. I know we were talking about it, you know, in person when this was going on. I know you were talking about Chuba, so I didn't say a word.
And then I wasn't going to take him.
Yeah. I wasn't going to sweat it too much, but obviously we saw what Mike Davis did last year when CMC was out. So, you know, does Chuba have upside? Yes. Obviously, he had the 2,000-yard rushing season a year ago. But I don't expect a ton from him. And it's the third round. It's mid-third round. They're pretty much all dart throws at this point anyway.
The worst case, you got your handcuff.
Sure. Yeah, exactly. And that was really the only approach I really took to it. So,
yeah. Tal, any thoughts on that pick? You agree?
Yeah, I mean, it made sense for you to take him. It didn't really make sense for anybody else to. If you didn't take him, I think he was going to fall.
I think he would have gone in this next few picks. So here's the Larrivee part of the draft. So he's up, and then it goes Alex, and then he has four consecutive picks after that. He goes Kyle Trask. I like the pick. He is in a complete rebuild. He took a second round quarterback who could potentially take over for Brady. I'm sick of talking about the heir apparent to Brady. I don't want to talk about it anymore after this pick. But Kyle Trask, upside pick in the end of the third round. I like it. Alex goes Deami Brown. And then I'm going to name these four guys that Jordan took. And then you guys can discuss. He goes, I know Tyler would trade a first round pick or Sterling Shepard for him. Amari Rodgers goes to the 309. Felton in Cleveland goes at the 310. Nico Collins, which is another good pick for him. And then Anthony Schwartz, who Kyle hates, but I'm a little bit higher on. Tyler, what are your thoughts?
I thought he had a nice little run. I was trying to move up all third round, trying to figure something out to move up to get Amari Rodgers. I couldn't pull it off. But you guys you like Schultz, Nico Collins. He has a good chance of having a decent opportunity there in Houston. The only guy I would have replaced here is probably Schultz, to be honest.
Schwartz,
Schultz.
But who would you have taken? What, Josh Palmer?
No, Des Fitzpatrick.
I do love Des Fitzpatrick.
100% would have took Des Fitzpatrick there. There's no other options outside of AJ Brown there.
Well, you have Josh Reynolds, who's a solid.
He's just a guy.
He's a guy, but he's a veteran.
But even then,
Tutu Atwell, a second round draft capital, could have gone there.
Yeah. But I think these guys are going to play, and I think Dez would have had the best chance of playing in that.
I was trying to trade up to get Dez Fitzpatrick. I tried like hell once I hit the fourth round to trade up. I was offering 2 fourths next year, a fourth and a player. Nobody wanted to do it, or I got to them too late. Because I really like Dez Fitzpatrick. I think he's going to be pretty good. Kyle, what do you think?
It's kind of interesting, huh? His draft strategy and won those four picks. It kind of came together pretty well.
Yeah.
For Jordan. And, you know, we thought about it pre-draft and thought that was kind of odd. But to be honest, I mean, especially in a 10-team league, you got good value that fell down here. So I like the Amari Rodgers pick.
I love Amari Rodgers. Yeah. I wanted him in the worst way.
To be honest, I've seen him go a lot earlier than he did in this draft. Usually it's early third round for him. So can't be mad at the pick at all.
Yeah, people decided to go quarterback instead was the thing. They went Mond and Trask instead. And that's pretty really what happened.
Yeah.
And I mean, Eskridge was a little early, but.
Yeah, I mean, the third round.
I would have took him before Brown, too. I would, like.
Yeah, I mean, on the whole, I think this third round, the spots are a little bit different, but the people are pretty much the same. It's the same group.
Yeah.
Nico Collins at the fourth round at the turn. I like that. Again, he has all the opportunity in the world to be the wide receiver too there. So that in the fourth round, that's all you can really ask for. Anthony Schwartz, we know how I feel. He runs a straight line and that's pretty much it. I think he's good for a football team in terms of a field stretcher, but I don't know what he's really going to do for your fantasy roster. Jordan Palmer, I liked. I thought that was a pretty good pick. Anybody tied to Justin Herbert, I'm a fan of.
Yeah, but you have Guyton in there. You have it is so much. I don't even know if he sees the field.
Yeah, they extended. Well, no, I don't know if they extended Mike Williams. Williams is still on his last deal.
He has a year left.
Yeah, he's still there. I mean, Keenan Allen's still there. They brought in Jared Cook. I don't see him having a huge role.
He's another guy that he's worth at least staying, keeping on a taxi squad, I think. But yeah, I don't expect anything crazy from him from year one. But you're in the fourth round. You're looking for upside picks at this point. So I can't really be mad at the pick. But yeah, Jordan did pretty well for himself for the four picks. There's two that I really like, and then two I'm kind of on. But again, it's the third, fourth round turn. So
my one thing is I would have gone Ramondre Stevenson instead of Felton. I think Felton you could have picked up on waivers or or later on. But I think Ramondre is going to get a decent role in New England. Nothing this year, but after Sony leaves, probably I think he's going to get a better role and James White's going to be gone, et cetera, et cetera. I'm just going to kind of name off the rest of this round just so save some time. Ramondre goes next, Hunter Long, Des Fitzpatrick, Tutu Atwell, Elijah Mitchell, Davis Mills, and then Williams in Denver. I think it's Seth Williams.
Yep.
Immediately caught after the draft. I think he just wanted to get the draft over and just took whoever was suggested.
I don't think he had the room to carry anybody else. I think that's why
he didn't. But his taxi was full. But, you know, it's a solid draft. I ended up trading up to, I traded into the fourth round to get Davis Mills at the 409. I gave two guys I was pretty much going to cut. I mean, it's a 409. I might even cut Davis Mills, who's, we'll see. But I traded up for the upside of if Deshaun Watson gets suspended for a year or misses a year. I might have a starting quarterback in my hands.
Yeah, I mean, you could luck yourself into that. Another pick I like in this range for kind of a very similar reason is Elijah Mitchell. I think he has the same size and ability as Trey Sermon does, but
I've seen him go as high as a 304.
Yeah, I don't know about that high.
It was like, first I was like, whoa, wait a second.
That doesn't add up.
I think a lot of people are kind of trying to follow up on the James Robinson hype from last year. And trying to replicate that in Elijah Mitchell, which I'm a believer in the talent, you know, smaller school kid. And I think he had some talent, but it's going to be the same situation as Sermon where a lot of stuff has to break his way in order for him to see the field.
His ceiling is Jeff Wilson.
Yeah. But look at how people were clamoring for Jeff Wilson last year.
Yeah. I should have taken the trade offers I got before the draft.
See,
but yeah, cause I had a offer of the 210 for him and I turned it down because I didn't expect them to draft a running back and sign another one and also sign Wayne Gallman. But anyway, so that's kind of those picks. Hunter Long was somebody I am kind of high on. I kind of wanted because of my Gesicki share, but you know, Des Fitzpatrick, we did talk about him. I am high on him. I think of anybody in the fourth round, he's the one that could potentially be the Deontay Johnson of this class.
Yeah. I actually think he's a steal there. I wasn't really paying too much attention in the fourth round at this point. After Rodgers went, I kind of just checked out. But if I would have saw he was still there and was paying attention, I probably would have tried to trade back in for him at that point.
Yeah, that's what you get for trading all your picks.
I'm not mad about it. I love my team.
So just a quick recap. Tyler had two picks. He had the 201 and the 207. Ended up with Mac Jones and Trey Sherman. Kyle, you had... Oh, hold on, I'm sorry. The
1526.
No, the oh, one, and the one. He had the 106, the 205, the 206, the 301, the 306, and the 405. You ended up with Justin Fields, Rondale Moore, Elijah Moore, Kenny Gainwell, Chuba Hubbard, and Hunter Long. Solid draft. Filled some needs. I can't complain about any of the picks. I thought they were all good value picks where you picked them. Tyler, I like him as well. I honestly, other than going Carter over Sherman, I still like it, but and the Mac Jones pick made sense. And then to recap my draft, the 101, the 108, the 202, the 209, and the 305, and the 409. Whew. I ended up with Trevor Lawrence, Zach Wilson, Devontae Smith, Amon-Ra St. Brown, Tylan Wallace, and Davis Mills. I'm happy with it. I'm happy with my return. What do you guys think of your drafts?
Not bad.
Go ahead.
No, go ahead. You're good.
I'm happy with my draft.
You can spend a lot less time on yours. Go.
Yeah, I'm happy with my draft. I got my guy. I went into the draft hoping that was going to fall to me and Mac. I didn't get to move up and get one of these other guys, but I was completely content getting it. I talked to Kyle for a week straight about how I was hoping Mac was going to fall.
Why didn't you talk to me about it? You thought I was going to take him at the 108?
I don't trust you with anything.
There's no way I was taking Mac at the 108. Honestly, though, even though I went Lawrence and Wilson, if you would have went Smith and Mac fell to me at the 202, I was taking him as well. I would, again, I go best player available. Because then I would have traded Mac for a 2 and a 3 next year and whatever. But, yeah, I like your draft. I like it. Kyle, what do you think on yours?
Anytime you can get Justin Fields at the 106, you're already starting off pretty good.
Here we go.
So, listen, best player available, right? I mean,
he's not wrong. He's not wrong.
You got the poster above your bed in Rondale Moore.
Yeah, I got Rondale.
You got my sleeper of the second round in Elijah Moore. I like the Kenny Gainwell pick. Chuba made sense. And Hunter Long, fourth round pick on a tight end. Go for it.
The only thing I'll say is this. For anybody listening, don't do snake rookie drafts.
So I need to explain that because people who now want to tune us out because they think we're idiots. This is the second year of us doing Dynasty. We set this league up last year not knowing how to play Dynasty fantasy football. We learned very quickly that it shouldn't be a snake draft. The issue is people already traded picks based off of where they were going to land in the draft, and it was too late to change them. I personally believe that we should vote on it as a league and change it moving forward. Tyler wants to be an outlier league and be different than everybody else.
No, my problem with it is that, one, yeah, we don't have to do what everybody else is doing. I hate that notion. Oh, it's just what everybody does, so we should do it. That's stupid. You tell me that, I instantly almost check out of the conversation because I don't give a fuck. That's the facts. Two, we've already got people already made deals that include future picks. So it's
I did. And I'm still okay with trade.
Yeah, you are because
I made a trade knowing that, you know, this pick is gonna be late and this pick's gonna be earlier based on the snake and my expectations of where their picks are gonna land.
No,
and I'm still okay with taking a loss on that.
I completely understand that, but like, so I've made a trade with somebody in this league before the draft, traded my next year's two.
And I think it's going to be the 202, 203, 204.
And I was trying to give him my three, and he wouldn't take the three because he expected my two to be high and my three to be low. So
yeah, so then what I said was, if nobody wants to do it this year, if that's a deal breaker, I'm not going to argue with him.
Right.
If we want to keep it this way, it
would be unanimous on that one.
Not unanimous because you're not going to vote for it, but in 2023, since nobody has traded any of the picks yet, it should go into effect then. And yeah, we'll definitely vote on it, but that's my opinion. Kyle, what do you think?
Yeah, no, I think at the end of the day, what's most important is you get the pulse of your league mates, and if something is worth bringing up to a vote, by all means, bring it up to a vote and majority rules, or if you want to go with unanimous, that's fine too. That's really the way you should do it. You know, that's how we've made a few rule changes in this league, and that I think that helps keep league mates involved, and it keeps them feeling involved in the league and that their voices are heard. So it keeps them around. So I think that this is something that either could change or we live with it in terms of everybody knows what to expect at this point. So it is what it is. But in my opinion, boys and girls, learn from our mistakes.
Yeah.
That being said, it is what it is at this point. The draft went off without a hitch. I didn't kill Tim. Everybody's still alive.
You might.
Yeah, that's still questionable.
You might.
That's still very questionable.
You said you weren't coming to my birthday party.
I did uninvite myself. That is true.
He said he wasn't coming to my birthday party. And for those who don't know, my birthday is May 22nd. And we were planning on doing a little scavenger hunt and a fire afterwards with some friends. And Kyle uninvited himself from it. He said, I'm not going because you won't trade with me.
I'm hoping you find some decency in the scavenger hunt. I'm going to put that on the list.
Okay. Yeah. One of the things is going to be trade Devontae to Kyle.
There you go. Let's take that in now.
So that's all I got on this rookie draft. I'm not going to recap all 40 picks.
No, again. God, no. Please. No.
So
just re-listen.
Re-listen. Maybe we'll try to put together a little something on social media for you. We'll see.
Yeah, screenshot.
Exactly. Yeah.
That works.
And we will see you next week. Guys, you got anything else?
No, it's been fun.
That's all for me, boys. It's been a great week.
All right, later.
On to the startup draft.